Let's get right into the Word of God today. And to all the fathers, happy Father's Day. It's always a blessing. I just want to praise the Lord to be able to teach the Bible every Sunday. It's really a blessing. And it's a great privilege and honor, and I do not take it for granted. And I thank you guys for always coming out and anticipating what God's going to do these mornings. So I know you had to bear with Anwar last week, and I do apologize. But Anwar was a blessing, and freed. but I do appreciate Brother Anwar. He was cleaning out the van this morning. I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, well, my wife left it dirty. And I was like, oh, that's a good Father's Day gift. But no, he's such a great dad. But I do appreciate all the fathers out there. And but if you do have your Bibles, let's get right into the Word this morning. And the past couple weeks, we've been focusing in Jude, and the theme was kind of be different to make a difference, if you guys remember that. And we went through from verse 20 to 22, and after that, I kind of wanted to go more topically, but expounding the scripture, God kind of convicted me. You know, in Bible college, we learn to preach the Bible, and that is not to find a verse and to make it fit what you want to say, but to preach what the Bible says, and to expound the scriptures, that means to take it out and not put in what we think. And so 2 Timothy chapter number 2 is where we'll be today. And I guess if I were to title the lesson, it would be the Word of God makes a difference. You know, we were talking about how the first week it was building a foundation of faith. It'll make a difference in your life, in the lives of those around you. And the next week was praying, and then we had, what else did we have? We had prayer, we had keeping ourselves in the love of God, and all those things make a difference. But one thing I thought as I was preparing these lessons before this summer was other things that make a difference in our lives and in the lives of others. And the first one I wanted to talk about was what we're going to talk about today. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. And I'll start for context. I'll read in verse number 14. And this was kind of the theme for last year here. 2 Timothy chapter number 3 in verse number 14. The Bible says this: "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." And this is the text that I want you to focus on today. "All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." And I thought about, the Word makes a difference. And I was thinking of what verse. And I thought of, what is it called? Hebrews chapter number 4, in verse number 12, it says, "The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and of spirit and of joints and of marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." And I thought about that. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it says piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and of spirit and of joints and of marrow. There are many swords out there that can pierce joints and of marrow, but there's only one sword that can pierce and separate and divide soul and spirit. And that is convict the heart and do a work in the lives of those from the inside out, as was preached last week Sunday. But I want to show you today. And it's interesting. And it goes along with the first lesson about building our foundation. For our foundation is built upon the Word of God. But this one is more along the lines of how and not why. I think about this, and if I were to tell you these words, what comes to mind? In this day and age in which we live, if I were to tell you the word square, what comes to mind? Or level? Maybe a plumb line? what comes to your mind? Well, if you're a builder, for many fathers out there, Uncle Bobby, that's the reference in which we use to build. The standard in which we use to judge if something is straight, if something is level, if something is square. And when you think about it in our lives, the world we live in today is, we live in a postmodern generation. And growing up, it was crazy, but we live with a thing called relativism. And everything nowadays is relative. And this world teaches, and in school, I was raised, you know, Mike has my truth. And Brother Norm has his truth, and Anwar has his truth. And what's true for Anwar may not be true for me because I don't like his truth. And what's true for Brother Norm may be true for me because I like Brother Norm's truth. But you get into that, and that's the philosophy of many modern thinkers nowadays. But it's a dangerous philosophy. Because what it does is it puts us in the position of God. And it says, I'm going to make the standard, and what I say is right, and what I say is wrong is what's going to be right and wrong. And they say there's no absolute truth. All truth is relative. You have your truth. She has her truth. And everybody's happy. But I see a problem with that, because if my truth says that it's right for me to take Brother Norm's phone and steal it, it might be right for me, but it's not right for him. But it's not right for any of us. And that's the reason why we need a standard, and that's why the Word of God makes a difference in our lives, because it is that standard. It is that plumb line. It is that level. It's that square that we build our lives upon, as we talked about on the first Sunday, about building our foundation. You see, all I want to do today is expound what this Word says, what the Word of God says, and I hope it'll be a help to you, because I want the Word of God to make a difference in your lives, just as it has in mine. You know, and I talked about it last week, Sunday, how, you know, God wants us to be heart to heart. And my preaching teacher, that sounds weird, one of my instructors, he said, you know, when you preach heart to heart and not head to head. And I want you to look at this, and I want you to take this thought. The Word of God makes a difference, and it makes you different. But only if you let it. Only if you allow it to get into you. Only if you allow it to do a work in your heart. You see, the Word of God is what changes lives. I have a question. Has it changed yours today? Are you standing here, and can you be a testimony of the power of God's Word? I know I can. You know, God delivered me from so much. But you know where it started? It started by opening up this book here. With a heart to say, God, I don't know what you got for me. I know it might be rough, but I want to hear it. And I think we underestimate the power of the Word of God. And we don't have the faith. You know, for what does it say? Faith cometh by what, church?
Hearing.
Hearing, and hearing by the what?
The Word of God.
The Word of God. Do you have faith in God's Word today? To do a work as it did in the past? Or have you forgotten the hidden power that is in His Word, in His book? Is God's Word making an impact in your life today? I want to show you four ways or four reasons why the Word of God can make a difference in our life, but only if we let it. And I think that last phrase is so important, only if we let it. For God is a God that loves us, and He is a sovereign God, but He is a God that has given us free will. For if God had not given us free will, we would be robots. You know, we say, I love you, God. You know, imagine if you created, well, nowadays they got Siri and all those weird, you know, personal assistants. They can do all kind of stuff and call you whatever you want them to call you. But it's all programmed. It's not volitionally. But God has given us a free will that we may choose to love him, that we may choose to worship him, that we may choose. And the word of God can impact your life, but only if you let it. I want you to see four ways quickly from 1st or 2nd Timothy chapter number 3 and verse number 16. Look with me before we get into them. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. The 66 books that you hold in your hand this morning is a compilation of God's canonized word. And it is, according to this verse, all of it, even Leviticus, is inspired from Genesis to Revelation. And that word inspired simply means God breathed. That God breathed his breath of life into his word. And if you go, let's go to 2 Peter chapter number 1 and verse 21. I want you to see this. And we'll go and cover inspiration really quickly. Because a lot of people will question and say, you know, the Bible is just written by men. And yeah, God used man to write the Bible. And I want you to see it. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 20. It says this, knowing this, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. But listen to what it says. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. You see, right here it's saying all scripture is given by inspiration of God, that God breathed it out, and he breathed it out into holy men of God who spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. You see, a lot of people, when I'll be out witnessing, and they're like, you know, I can't trust the Bible. Men wrote it, as I just said. And I said, yes, men did write it. And if I were to tell you, and I were to write you a note, and I were to write it with this pen, would it be foolish of me to say that the pen wrote the letter? Wouldn't it be foolish of me to say, oh, yeah, the pen wrote the letter? No, the pen was simply an instrument in the hand of the writer. You see, in the prophets of old, from Samuel to David and Solomon and all who were involved in the writing of Scripture were simply like this pen. They were instruments in the hand of God. For without it, it's just a pen. But in the hand of the writer, he sent us a message. And that was his love letter to us. For all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And look at the next verse, or the next phrase. It says, and is, what's that word?
Profitable.
Profitable. When you work a job, for the most time, it's profitable, right? We get a wage in which we work. And I want to tell you today that the word of God is much more profitable than any job we could ever have. Any investment that we could ever make, the word of God is far more profitable. For the word of God is an investment if we deposit it into the banks of our heart, if you could say it that way. Are you doing that today? How is your relationship with the Bible? Is it changed your life already? And is it, if it has, is it continuing to do its work today? Because it has power, and it can, but only if we let it. Let's look at these four ways quickly. I want to show you four ways the word of God can make a difference in our lives. Four reasons, if you would say it that way. Number one, it tells us what is right. It tells us what is right. Look at what it says. It says in verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for what? To tell us what is right. And that is for doctrine. For doctrine. You see, doctrine is simply teaching. But the scary part is there are a lot of teachings out there today. There are a lot of doctrines, if you would say it that way. There are a lot of things that say all kind of crazy stuff about God. You know, I was just thinking about that movie, The Shack, again. I don't know who watched it, but it's, put your guard up if you do watch it. If you read the book, I don't know. But it teaches a lot of stuff that, you know, universalism, that not all people are going to get to heaven. Not all roads lead to heaven. There's only one road, and his name's Jesus. Doctrine. It is teaching, but What kind of teaching? It's sound doctrine. I want you to look at this. 1 Timothy chapter number 4 and verse 16. The Bible says this. It says, "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt save both thyself and them that hear me." You see, Paul is exhorting Timothy here to take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. You see, it's not good that we just have teaching, but we have sound teaching. That is teaching that holds water. That is doctrine that is coming from God's word, interpreted and brought out of the word, not, we call it exegesis and not eisegesis. Eisegesis is putting our concepts and our presuppositions into a verse, but exegesis is taking out what's there and what God has left for us. And that is how we get good doctrine. It tells us what is right. It tells us the things that we don't want to hear. It tells us, you know, I remember when I the first time I opened up the Bible that I bought, and that was, I think it was the day I got saved, and I just started reading. I don't know why I started reading in the book of Romans, but I did. And if I encourage you, if you never read the Bible before, if you don't have a personal copy of the Word of God, we can get you one. But I started reading, and I started to take heed to some good doctrine. And I was like, man, I'm a good person. I'm not that bad. Then God's word started showing me, hey, you're not that good. You're actually kind of bad. And I was like, oh, man, it's kind of hard to hear. I said, there's a penalty for that being bad. There's a penalty for that sin. It's a lot to take in. But what was God doing? He was giving me good doctrine, and good doctrine comes from the Word of God. You see, sound doctrine comes from reading the Scripture in context. And I heard it said, if you know, when you read the Bible, you don't always understand it. And first you ask God, for He, the Spirit of truth, the Bible says He will guide you into all truth. And the next thing that I was taught was that if you don't understand a verse, you to read it in context. And don't just take verses out of context, but read it in the context. So if you don't understand a verse, I heard it said this, 20/20 vision. And I was like, okay, that's cool. What does it mean? Well, if you don't understand a verse, you read 20 verses before and 20 verses after. Therefore, you can see with 20/20 vision in the Word of God. And that helped me a lot just to get the concepts of what it's talking about. Because like I said, there's a lot of teaching out there. And there's a lot of people, a lot of Christian cults even, the so-called pseudo-Christian, that they take verses and portions and say, you got to be baptized to be saved. Or you got to be a part of a church to be saved. Or the body and blood that represents, that's supposed to be in remembrance, is actually becomes the actual body and blood of the Lord Jesus, which is not what the Scriptures teach. You see, it tells us what is right. Therefore, we ought to be in it. We ought to know it. We ought to hide it in our heart, as it says. Why? So we're not deceived. So we know what is true. Because what does Jesus say in John chapter 8? He says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? Make you free, shall set you free." Look at Proverbs chapter number 4 and verse 2. It says this. This is Solomon talking to his son. But I believe it could be God, in essence, talking to us, the reader, as we read it. He says, "I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law." Have you forsaken the law of God today? And in the Old Testament, the law of God was in representation, of the Word of God. It says, "For I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law." You know, I think of other times in Proverbs how it says, you know, bind it around your neck and write it on the tablet of your heart. What is that? Good doctrine. The Word of God. Hiding it in our heart. But notice that it's not only to tell us what is right, but it's also, I kind of touched on this already, but to tell us what is wrong. To tell us what is hard to hear. And it says it is profitable for doctrine, and the next one is for reproof. I think a lot of us don't like to hear reproof. But listen to what Proverbs says about this word reproof. Proverbs 6 and verse 23, it says this, "The commandment is a lamp and the law is a light." Listen to this. It says, if I have this highlighted in my Bible, I'd underline it if I were you because it really helps. in those hard times when someone does reprove you. It says the reproofs of instruction, it says, are the way of life. And if we can't take reproof from the Word of God, man, we're not going to be in the way of life, it says. That's kind of scary. You know, the instructions of reproof are the way of life. And listen to this one. Proverbs chapter number 12 and verse 1, it says, whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof, it says, is brutish. And I looked up the word, and that word could be otherwise translated in our vernacular today, stupid. Or baboos. Yeah, there you go. That's a local term. And think about that. He that hateth reproof is stupid. Why? For the instructions of reproof are the way of life. And I think that's why at times we can stay from the Word of God. For what is the saying? Sin will keep, or this book will keep you from sin, right? And sin will keep you from this book. And I think about it, when we're in sin, the last thing we want to do is to turn on the light. The last thing we want to do is read about what we're doing wrong and get that reproof that we so desperately need. That is the instructions that are the way of life. Because we don't like reproof. Because we don't like to be told that we're wrong. It's a hard thing to say. It's a hard thing to swallow, I guess you could say. But that's where the Bible calls us to be clothed with pride. Does it say that? What does it say? Be clothed with what? Humility. Why? And this is the part that scares me. Because if we don't take the reproof of Scripture, the Bible says that we're saying that you're wrong, God, and I'm right. And I'm going to do what I want to do because I know best. And the Bible says, for God opposed the proud. He resisted the proud. He stiff-armed them, if you like football. He says, no, you can't come near me. You can't have my grace. You can't because you're prideful. But what does it say in 1 Peter? It says, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he care for you. You see, in order for us to take reproof, in order for us to be told what is wrong in our life, we first need to be clothed with humility. Because if we can't take it with a good heart and say, God, I think you're right, and I'm wrong, will you forgive me? Would you help me to overcome this sin or to have victory in this area? I can't do it without you. I need you. And God gives us his grace. His grace, which is sufficient, which Pastor preached on 2 weeks ago. And the grace of God would, as Titus says, teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and of our Savior, Jesus Christ. God has given us grace, but are we receiving his reproof today? That are the instructions, the reproof of instructions that are the way of life. Listen to this. Proverbs 10 and verse 17, it says, he is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof erreth. And that word erreth simply means is deceived. But he that refuseth reproof, you could say it, is deceiving himself. Thinking that you're right, but you're actually not. Are you receiving the instructions of reproof? Are you allowing God to tell you what is wrong? Or is that the reason why you haven't been in this book? Because I know at times I don't want to be in the book when God's telling me what I'm doing is not according to it. But it says the instructions of reproof are the way of life. And, you know, God's been working one thing in my heart, and that has been meditation. And that has been meditating on the Word of God. And I would encourage you, that verse has helped me so much. It's that last statement, the instructions of reproof are the way of life. And I think about it, when God tells me what I'm doing wrong, or even when somebody else says, hey, you're late, or, you know, why did you do this, or why did you do that? I don't just put up my guard and say, who are you to tell me? I say, thank you, I'll consider it. Why? Because instructions of reproof are the way of life. Are you taking the reproof of Scripture today? Or is that the reason why you're not in the Word of God? I want you to notice the third thing is, not only does God tell us from His Word what is right by doctrine and what is wrong by reproof, but He tells us how we can get it right, and that is by correction. See, correction is to fix, to reposition that which has gotten off track. You see, the Word of God corrects us when we do get off track. And like I said, if we allow it, if we clothe ourselves with humility, for God opposeth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble, God will get us back on track. He will guide us back to His path. I want you to look at that verse one more time. Proverbs 6 and verse 23, it says, for the commandment is a lamp and the law is a light. For the commandment is a lamp and the law is a light. You know, and I think of this. Let's go to, if you have your Bibles, turn to 1 John chapter number 2 and verse number 11. It talks about hating your brother in the context. But I like this illustration. It says, but he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness. And look at what happens when we walk in the darkness. And knoweth not whither he goeth. Why? Because the darkness has blinded his eyes. You see, but the Bible says when we're in it, it tells us what is right. It says if we're going this way or we're going that way, hey, you're supposed to be going this way. Why? Because it says right there, the commandment is a lamp and the law is a light. And I believe every time we get off track is when we're walking in darkness. Because you think about it, in verse 6 of 1 John chapter 1, it says, if we say we have fellowship with Him and we walk in darkness, we lie and we do not the truth. You see, we can't say that we have fellowship with God and walk in the darkness. The Bible says we're lying and we're not doing the truth. We're not following the truth of Scripture. But again, correction is hard. It's something we don't want. You know, you think about it in the morning, if someone were to flash your husband or your wife, if you're married in here, or your mom or dad, if you're a teenager, come in your room and shine a flashlight in your eye in the morning. Wouldn't be too happy. But that's kind of like what the Word of God is. It's that light that sometimes bothers us. But it's saying, hey, it's time to wake up. It's time to get out of the darkness. And I need help with that. I can ask Uncle Harold. He's like, hey, sleeping in today, huh? And I'm like, hey, you got to help me out. That's one thing. It's like, I don't know how you guys do it. I envy those that wake up early in the morning. It's like, I want to. I try, and then I'm praying, and I fall asleep, and I'm like, what in the world? And I guess it just comes with the time, I heard. You know, the older you get, the earlier you get up. Even when you want to go back, even when you want to go back to sleep, it's just like, man, I can't go to sleep. And so. But no, the lamp, the commandment is a lamp, and the law is a light. Are you allowing that light to shine and to probe into the deepest parts of your heart? Are you allowing the Word of God to search and to find things that need correction and to find things that say, hey, got to put this back on the shelf, your prayer time. Got to get those tracts back in your pocket because I called you to be a witness in the world. You know, and when we get in the Bible, it tells us how to get things right in our life. It shows us what is right. It tells us what is wrong, and it teaches us how to get it right. Notice with me lastly, it tells us how to keep it right. An instruction in righteousness. Instruction in righteousness. I thought about this. I think I was listening to a message one time, and I thought about GPS, right? You used to have it. You had to buy like this $70 thing, and you put it in your car, and that's all it did. Now we got it on our phones. We got like different apps for it too. And funny story, actually, I won't say it, but GPS, right? What does it stand for? Global positioning system. It shows you exactly where you are. And then you type in the directions and it shows you exactly where to go, right? And I thought about this, that the Word of God is our GPS. But it is not, it doesn't stand for global positioning system. It stands for godly positioning system. You see, you open it up and it shows you exactly where you are. And then you type in the directions and it shows you where you got to go. This is the way, the Bible says, walk ye in it. It is our GPS on our journey of life. You know, and I thought about, I hear a lot of stuff from a lot of good preachers. So I'd encourage you to listen to preaching. It's really good. And thank you guys for coming. I always appreciate you guys. It encourages me that there's more than five people in here. And not all of them are sleeping, only Uncle Harold. Nah. And Anwar. I see you dozing off over there. You're trying to act like you're, yeah, doing this. I know. I do that in Bible college when I only sleep for 4 hours a night. It's like, amen. just don't say amen at the wrong time. But the word Bible, B-I-B-L-E, right? We know the acronym. Basic instructions before leaving Earth is what one said. And I heard it before. But the Bible teaches us how to keep it right. And it tells us how to stay on the straight and narrow. And it tells us if we only, as I said in the beginning, let it. So are you letting today the Word of God be your guide? Are you allowing the doctrine, the truth of the Word of God that's telling you what is right to get in your heart? Are you allowing it to tell you what is wrong, even though it's hard to hear at times? Are you allowing it to tell you how to get it right? And are you letting it keep you, as it's your godly positioning system, how to keep it right? You see, listen to what happens if we do. Let me get back to it. 2 Timothy chapter number 2, or 3, what am I saying? In verse 17, look at this and we'll close. It says why. This is the result if we let the Word of God tell us what is right and what is wrong, how to get it right and how to keep it right. It says this, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished, or throughly furnished. That's how one of my teachers say it. Throughly, there you go. No problem, Brother Norm. Furnished unto all good works. That word throughly, if you want to say it that way, or thoroughly, means completely. That the man of God may be completely furnished, fully equipped, if you'd say it this way, like a soldier ready for battle. He's fully equipped. How? If he takes heed to doctrine, to reproof, to correction, and to instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be perfect. What does that word mean? Mature. Mature, full grown in the faith, ready for battle. And you don't send out a little Judah to war. You might send Anwar. Why? Because he's mature. And if we let the Word of God do a work in our life, and if you're a Christian in here today, and you're saved by the grace of God, when we're saved, we're newborn babes, right? But what does the first thing it say? It says, as newborn babes, desire the what? The sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. Why? That you may be perfect, mature. You may be a strong soldier for the Lord Jesus. Throughly furnished. That is fully equipped for what? Unto all good works. Being, as it says in the chapter before, meet for the master's use. And if we let the Word of God get into us, and we let it do a work in our hearts, that's what changes lives. Because it changed our life. Is it still doing that today? It changed our life and it still has the power to continue to change our life. And it has the power to change those that are around us. So I wrote this as we close. Love the Word of God. and live the word of God, then let others hear it too. Shall we pray? Father, we love you. We thank you for your word which you have given us. That's our guide, that's our lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And Lord, I ask you would help me and these dear people in this room to love your word and to live it. And then, Lord, to share it with others. For your word is powerful, Lord. It's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even through dividing asunder of soul and of spirit and of joints and of marrow, Lord God. And may you, Lord, give your word that power in our lives once again. Give us that faith to believe that it can change our wayward sons and daughters and brothers and sisters and friends and co-workers, Lord, just as it changed our life. And may you do a work in our heart. May you revive us by your word. May you help us to be clothed with humility that we would receive your grace. And we'll thank you for all that you do. Bless the service to come and bless fathers, Lord God, for all their hard work and labor and being the leaders that they ought to be. And I'll thank you for all that you do in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed. Thanks for coming. There are, I think, banana bread, homemade banana bread by Brother Norm this morning out there.